Gearhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. This is Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy, from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Thanks for tuning in this and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Always tune in to get to the latest and greatest in the auto repair industry. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. I think the front door is open. We're ready. We're ready for your questions, comments, any concerns. Leanne likes to take the complaints or concerns on the back of a $100 bill. You could send those down to the shop at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. She said she'll personally handle those. All right, let's get some weather. It's going to be hot today. It is hot today. Cold today and hot tamale. Well, the fair is leaving town, so it should cool off. As we all know, 103 today, and it's getting to be 96 tomorrow, down into the low 90s Monday, 93 Monday, and then trending that way through next week. 90 Tuesday, 90 Wednesday, getting a little warmer again, 92, 93 by Friday, and then back into the high 80s for next weekend. So looks like it's a little bit of a, we'll call it a breeze for the beginning of August, a little bit of a cool off. We'll see where that pattern goes. We got the famous El Nino coming in. So it's like a super El Nino. Has anybody been watching that? Paying attention to the super El Nino? It's the big Gulf Stream between Asia and South America. There's some town in South America that is never gets sunshine in this time of year. And it's like sunny. And so, and then the fish is like, they catch a lot of sardines down there in South America, and it's like 30% of what they normally have caught by now. So it's definitely on track for a super El Nino. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you doing this morning?
Tom, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, have you ever heard, you were talking earlier about frustrating with trucks and vehicles like that. Have you ever heard of connoitering?
A what?
Connoitering.
No, unless I'm not hearing what you're saying.
No, you probably are. God, a long time ago, yeah, I said you have the run the muffler shop down there where Kevin is right now. And me and a friend of mine were putting the transmission in Gene Gorbett, to his construction company around here. Big, heavy-duty, four-speed transmission in his truck. We're doing a clutch at it. And we're fighting this thing. And here's Gene sitting over on his ice chest having a cold beer. And we're fighting. He says, boys, stop. I go, okay, what's up? He says, I'm going to teach you boys the art of connoitering. We said the same thing. What? He says, come over here. Open up his ice chest. We sat down. We each had a beer. Sat down, relaxed for about 10 minutes, went in there, and the thing dropped right in. Splines lined right up.
He says, I see what you're getting at.
Boys, that is the art of connoitering.
That's very true. Sometimes you got to walk away.
Just got to sit back and, yeah. Once you start fighting it.
I think Mom used to call it taking a walk around the block.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah, Gene's art of connoitering.
Well, you got a nice cold beer in it, too, so that makes it a little bit better.
Yep, and he supplied it.
That's absolutely true, man. You get to a point where it's like you keep fighting it, and it's going to keep fighting you back. It's like they call it the car gods. Like as soon as it knows you're frustrated, oh, it's just going to lay it on thick.
It starts laughing at you.
Yeah, then you end up hitting your head on the rack, and then you don't know where you put your tool, and you're looking for the 10-millimeter socket, and it's like, where the hell is that bolt I just had in my hand? And it's just what is going on right now?
Yeah, you just walk away.
Yeah, that's
or
funny.
Let somebody else say, you try it. And then you get frustrated because you have somebody else try it and it goes right together.
Right together, yeah. Yeah. That seems to be my position in the shop, and everybody hates me for it. How do you get it in like that? It's like, well, I'm not as frustrated as you are right now.
Yeah, you made me look stupid. Well, that's my job too.
Connoitering. I'll have to remember that one. I like that.
Yep, the art of connoitering. So.
That's awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a pleasant day, man.
You too. Thanks, bye. The art of connoitering. Somebody spell that for me. Yeah, right. Good luck. It's cool. It's C-O notering. Something like that. It's very true. It goes off what Diane was talking about. You got to, your mind is the biggest enemy. Especially when you need to use it to think critically and do physical work. That's the greatest thing about the auto repair industry. You got to think critically and be tasked with physical labor at the same time. A lot of the time you want to do like, you know, you go in the garden, moving some dirt around, moving this pile of dirt over there. That's great brain activity because it's just nonsense, right? You're just going through the motions. It just feels, and you feel accomplished at the end of it. But then you got to like use that same physical labor and then also make sure you're thinking critically through every step, because otherwise you end up forgetting something really important that needed to go in step two and you're on step 45, which was a lot of work to get step 45. And now you got to go back to step two to do it again because you weren't paying attention. It's very easy for your brain to go offline when you're in the minutia of like doing that daily task, the daily grind over and over day after day. It's like, how do you forget something like that? It's like, because we do it every single day. We do it for 8 hours a day, every day, 5 days a week. It's like, it's going to happen. You're going to make a mistake. Just catch it before it leaves. And that, I mean, it just happens. You can't be perfect. That's impossible. So yeah, there's a lot of time you do a lot of work and then you got to do it all over again because you forgot one stupid little thing. And it's usually buried underneath something that, it's at, like they said, step number two or three. So, or like Tom was saying, it just won't go back together. Why won't this go back in? It came apart easy. Why won't it go back together? And then somebody else comes along and it just goes, they just touch it and it just clicks together. I love it. Oh, that's the greatest. All right, moving on. Let's get to some news and stuff. In the last week, we had Richie Wimmer in talking about the Morro Bay High School. I'm super excited to get him back in here again. He is just a wealth of knowledge. And I'm telling you, the Morro Bay High School Auto Shop Program is one of the best ones I think is seen in the country. I've been to Salt Lake City, Utah, and there's a the Bonneville High School out there is probably... They probably got the edge on that only because they got the salt flats and the instructor there, what's his name? I think his name's Gary. I can't remember. But they'll build cars and go race them out on the salt flats. So he's got a little bit of an edge there. But Richie takes his kids out to SEMA every year. They do the engine build contest. It's like super cool. So I'm excited to get a little more information from him and spread more of the gospel of that because it's a really good program. The auto shop programs ran like an actual shop, which is really cool. But anyway, let's get to some news because I didn't get to that last weekend. A lot of stuff to get caught up on. And first things first, let's talk about... We got some door handle safeties going on. So over the years, if you remember cars having a door handle that was like nice and shiny and you could actually grab onto it, you could almost like swing on it. You know, you pull the thing and... It was like you could like rip the door off with the door handle because it was like attached, solid piece on there that was like. And so lately, a lot of the car builders have gone back to that. They've taken some of the older style, for example, like the old style Challengers door handles, and putting them on the late model ones, and getting rid of that plastic. But no better term than garbage. Put a nice big thick piece of steel on there, so you have something to grab onto when you open the door. Well. After several crashes where doors couldn't be open, U.S. regulators are addressing the same problem. So up until the age of mass production in electric vehicles, door handles were essentially a solved problem. If you bought a Honda Accord, you had an easy-to-pull style handle. If you could afford a Mercedes, you got something that made a satisfying chunky click. If you bought a first-generation Dodge Viper, well, you didn't get any door handles at all. And however, somewhere along the line, automotive designers decided that the tiny increment of additional aerodynamic advantage proved by a flush door handle was worth that complexity. Tesla led the way, and others followed, which is why now you have to roll down the window when you're picking someone up from the airport and explain how your passenger can get in. Right? Because it's like, how do I open this thing? If you've ever been in a Tesla for the first time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Getting in's not that bad, but getting back out is... takes a minute or two to figure out how to do that. Perhaps a slight nuance, but soon you learn new car secret handshake, and it becomes second nature. Not a big deal. The bigger problem is that designing these flush door handles often require eliminating old-fashioned mechanical connections with electrically operated systems. And as if y'all never dealt with that, the battery's usually in the trunk. And to pop the trunk, you got to open the door. And to open the door, you got to have the battery be charged so you can open the door to get to the... But so, yeah. You got to get real creative when the battery goes dead on these, when you have an electrically operated door. So this, too, would be something that people would eventually not even notice were it not for several public failures with serious consequences. As many as 15 people have died in crashes in Teslas where the doors wouldn't open. This does sound terrifying, and a petition was submitted with the NHTSA to look into the defect. Specifically, it asked NHTSA to examine the emergency operation on the 2022 Tesla Model S, arguing that it didn't comply with existing federal standards. They have now denied that petition, but is moving forward with developing new rules and requirements around occupant safety in vehicles. These won't be specific to Tesla, but it will apply to all automakers certifying cars for sale in the U.S. Who thought something as simple as a door handle could become so complicated? That's what we're worried about now, huh? And then you're sitting on the side of the road wondering why your 100,000-mile Chevy needs an engine. Well, they're too busy designing door handles. Anyway, we gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
This is Jordan Cunningham. When life throws you a curveball, you need advocates that will fight for you. Along with my wife, Shauna, Cunningham Law Group is a legal team that understands that legal battles are personal. Whether you're navigating a difficult divorce, fighting for time with your child, or facing criminal charges, we will fight for you. Cunningham Law Group, family law and criminal defense, experience with integrity. 805-369-2399 or cunninghamlawslo.com. Because when it matters most, we're on your side.
The Red Scooter Deli with two locations, downtown and on 6th Street in Paso Robles. The downtown location on Pine Street is open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays now for concerts in the park. Plan your musical enjoyment with a to-go dinner from the downtown Red Scooter Deli. Red Scooter Deli has beer, wine, and mimosas. Ask for the 15% off KPRL discount. Great deli fresh food delivered throughout Paso Robles, Templeton, the airport area, and wineries. Go to redscooterdeli.com.
And welcome back. Well, that was a short break. Barely got enough time to get my mandated 15. Anyways, welcome back in. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We are located right here in Paso Robles. Check us out online at shiftinggears805.com or just give us a call anytime during the week, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. We're there to help. Got a rock star crew, willing and able. So if you need anything during the week, please, can I ask you again, support our business. But in the meantime, every Saturday from 9 to 10, you can tune in. Call in. Text lines are open. Phone lines open. Here to help. And we'll go right to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi, Jimmy. I got a kind of a community service thing, and I'm maybe just the only one that didn't know, but I went to look and see how to get to that Santa Isabel Ranch. And GPS takes you down Santa Isabel, but you really should just stay on Spring. It's on the right, down River Road, I mean. So you stay on River to get to that big party tonight.
There's a party tonight?
Big party.
I didn't get the invite.
Yes, you did.
I just got it. you're supposed to say, well, because it was invite only. I didn't get the invitation. It's like, well, it was invite only. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, everybody wanted to come. I'm kidding. The thing about, hey, I didn't get offered that job. We offered it to everybody we wanted.
Yeah.
We wanted it. Yeah, careful what you say. Yeah,
take little guy Kent, take a hint.
So I've never seen it before, the Santa Isabella Ranch, and it's the entrance is beautiful, big, beautiful, gaudy kind of entrance there, right off of River Road. Go past Walmart, and then keep going down there on the right.
Oh, on South River Road. No, okay, I'm following
That's
you.
What
yeah,
I
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The super nice places out there. Yes.
I should have thought it through before I called. But yeah, no, I just like, oh, I bet a lot of people are going to make a right. GPS is going to take them down there to the end of the road, and they'll be called backed up trying to get. So anyway,
I love it.
Community service.
When's the party?
Say,
when's it start?
7.
7 o'clock. What's it for?
A fundraiser for the Republicans.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Can you say February for me one time?
No.
That was me. All right. Love you, man.
Thanks for the call. See ya.
Bye.
I'll get it. You Februaries. There you go. I was going to say brew in the middle of it. Yeah, he caught me on that one. Thanks for the shout out for the community. I don't know what you call it. Update. Big party. All right, getting back into it. We're talking about door handles. Get down to the end of here. So the NHTSA is its own investigation into Tesla, although the one is related to companies about not being able to get into the car. In some cases, these include situations where a child or elderly family member was trapped inside. Last year, Tesla led lead designer Franz von Holzhausen, hey, like that. Can't say February, but I can get Holzhausen out. Indicated that the company was reworking its door handle designs. So having rules in place seems all kinds of sensible for consumer safety, but questions remain. How long will it take for these rules to go into place, and how effectively will they be enforced? The automotive industry is in chaotic and uncertain place at present, and NHTSA is moving towards information gathering with a view to rulemaking is a lengthy process. Door handles, right? We've seen them over the years constantly change, get to the point, it's like, I don't even know how to get into this car. Something you get in the car and you're like, how do I drive this? I see a lot of cars. We, at the shop, we see a lot of cars, 220 to 230 a month. I mean, it's a lot to us. It's a lot of vehicles. And they're all different. They all have different ways of, well, starting from square one, getting in the car. And then where does the key go? And then how we get it to go forward? As Richard up front likes to say, how do I turn this thing on? Right? Just, where's the button? Sometimes you got to put a key in it and turn it. And he knows what I'm talking about. So they get more complicated for no reason, right? And door handles is one of the big ones. And safety is a big one when it comes to door handles. How do I open the damn door? And then when it gets to the point where you lose power and then the little popper doesn't work. So it's unfortunate it's come to the part where it's like they got to spend this kind of money and time. In the meantime, you're spending $80,000, $90,000 on these new cars, and the transmissions can't last more than 80,000 miles, or the engines are going out at 60,000 miles, and they're worried about aerodynamics of a flush door handle. I don't know. Does it really? I mean, how much can you? I don't know. How much are you saving in fuel economy? I just. That's another one of those fleet fuel things, and I've talked to so many people about this. They've come into the shop, and we've had good conversations about stuff like this, where it's everything they do is for fuel economy, and it's not for your benefit. It's for fleet fuel savings. It's so that all their vehicles in that fleet will have a combined mileage per gallon that's just 2% or 1.5% lower. That's a huge fleet fuel savings, which they get a big tax rebate on. And that's all they're going for. They're definitely not thinking about you. All right, next up on here, this is kind of an interesting one. So we talked, it was kind of an unfortunate one. Hyundai had the rear seat problem where it was folding on its own, whether or not there was a small child in the seat. Very sad stories with those Palisades. Ford's got a similar one, but not as detrimental. So Ford is recalling Explorers and Aviators for unexpectedly reclining seats. They issued this recall on 64,000 Ford Explorers and 15,000 Lincoln Aviators that may have a malfunctioning driver's seat capable of trapping a second row passenger when unlocking the vehicle. Documents filed with NHTSA say the action only happens when the driver's seat is unoccupied and the vehicle is parked. There haven't been any reports of injury yet, likely because the malfunction only occurs when the car is remotely unlocked, started, or when a driver approaches the vehicle while carrying the key fob. Drivers have nothing to fear in terms of surprise changes in seating elevation once they're in the vehicle, but any passengers that might be hanging out in the back of the second row of the locked car may get bruised kneecaps. The recall applies to 2026 and 27 models of the Explorer and Aviator. The documents say the unexpected seat movement is caused by a faulty memory recall function, which is meant to automatically bring the driver's seat to their preferred position when they get in the car. And I'm sure if you have a newer vehicle, you know what I'm talking about. You can program it one, two, or three different drivers, right? So if you get in there and your wife is 2 feet shorter than you, you don't get in and hurt yourself, or vice versa. She doesn't have to mess with it. She just hit the button and the seat goes right back to the position. That makes it more convenient for them. Again, adding more complexity to something where we could just hit a lever and slide the seat forward. Do I appreciate heated seats and memory seats? Of course. It's fantastic. It's like, that's very nice. But here's the alternative. Here's on the other side of it, right? So this is meant to bring the driver's seat to the preferred position. Contrary to the SUV may be telling you, it's not recommended to drive in this new horizontal nap mode, because in the Fords, they have a pre-determined position that lays the seat all the way back. So if you're wanting to take a nap on your 15-minute break, you can go take a nap. In this investigation, Ford found that seat motor, you know what it is? It's because it's a Ford. So they know you're going to be on the side of the road. So they installed a nap mode in the driver's seat so that when you're broke down on the side of the road, you can go ahead and take a nap while you're waiting for the tow truck. That's not very nice. It was like the seated, the heated tailgates on the F-150s. Why do you need that? Oh, because when you're stuck on the side of the road, you can drop the tailgate and you can warm up and stay warm back there. Oh, poor Fords. In the investigation, Ford found that the seat motor will start when it meets resistance instead of bouncing back up like it's supposed to. So while it may pose a threat of minor entrapment, the passengers can rest assured that the reclining seat won't cut off their legs and they won't get stuck. So that's good news. They put the right software in there so that the seat will, once it hits some sort of resistance, it'll go back. That's what they're getting at, but. Sorry to all the Ford owners out there. Hopefully I didn't hurt your feelings. All right, moving on. If you're just tuning in, thanks for joining us. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. You can always text in as well, 805-238-5775. That's KPRL, if you remember how to push those buttons on your phone phonetically. Moving on to the next, Ram is now in the spotlight. We got 1.2 million 1,500 pickups over seat belt buckle issues. This is for the 2019 to 2026 Ram 1500s. So Ram announced that it will perform a voluntary recall of just over a million trucks that could have been produced with dangerous seat belt buckle anchors. Now, according to the announcement made by the automaker, some of the Ram 1500 pickups from 2019 to 2026 are included in the recall. Outside of the U.S., the recall extends to cover another estimated 150,000 vehicles in Canada and estimated 74,000 in Mexico. According to the automaker, the center and driver's side rear seats in the affected vehicles are suspected of having been produced with seatbelt anchors that weren't properly attached to the vehicle. In the event of a crash, the improperly anchored seatbelts may fail to do their job, meaning you're not going to be anchored to the car. Of course, this is increasing the chance of injury and obviously failing to meet federal standards. The automaker is going to notify affected owners with a request to bring their truck to a dealership for inspection. Dealer technicians will then inspect the seatbelt buckles in the rear seat and, when applicable, correct them to the vehicle's body structure, free of charge. Again, if any of these you're curious about, go to the NHTSA recall website. You can put in your VIN and see if you're affected. And you can get that done before you have to wait for the letter in the mail. This is all important stuff to keep in mind, because maybe you have a loved one or you know someone that has one of these. And that's one of the ones that you don't want to figure out on the backside, right? I mean, that's not like something you want to mess with, because you only hopefully get in an accident once or twice, or maybe three or four times, I don't know. But a major accident, hopefully you don't have to deal with that, but if you do, you want to make sure your seatbelt's properly anchored to the vehicle, because that's the point of it. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care, across the street from Atascadero Hay and Feed in Atascadero.
Fox News, I'm Angelo Bavaro. Two new attacks by Iran have been reported on commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz.
That's something President Trump has cited in his decision that he's considering about perhaps launching major strikes against Iran once again. Those strikes could begin as early as this weekend. They could last several days.
Fox's Steve Harrigan. Savannah Guthrie is again pleading for answers 6 months after her mother was kidnapped.
Investigators released two chilling ransom notes sent within days of Nancy Guthrie's abduction. The first note said Nancy was safe but scared, while a second, shorter note claimed the 84-year-old had died. Authorities are releasing the ransom notes in hopes someone will recognize the writing style.
Fox's Chanley Painter. America is listening to Fox News.
The Taylor Ranch has a new bison harvest in, and it's selling fast. I'm Susanna Luthi, host of KPRL's Free Talk California and Rancher. I want our community to thrive one plate of bison at a time. We've got new offerings like spicy bison sausage and a bison club that keeps you and me all year long and gives special perks like a ranch bison safari. Bison transports you back 100 years when meat was what nature intended. Wild, wildly nutritious, and so very delicious. Order now at Taylor Ranch 1868.
Keep that vehicle looking its best with the help from Golden Hill Car Wash. Your choice of state-of-the-art Razor touchless wash with ceramic wax and the Ryko Soft Gloss Max 5, both with the latest technology. Plus, Golden Hill Car Wash offers 6 wash bays, including RV, all with spotless rinse. Plus, they've got vacuums for you. Keep it looking its best. Golden Hill Car Wash. Pass the Robles.
Everybody, this is Danny from Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, actually, people have told me, I miss your commercials. Well, this commercial is a thank you commercial for all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that buy from us consistently. Thank you to them. Thank you for the homeowners for all the repeat business. We had a great year last year, an increase of 33%. So thank you for that. How about we celebrate by giving you prefabs for $99? We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have buy one, get one free slabs. So come on down to our showroom for our tile and slabs, 3850 Ramada. And for luxury vinyl and cabinets, please come to 447 North Main Street, Templeton. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
Touch of Paso, come on down for some home-cooked goodness, the best around. Breakfast and lunch in a little brick house, leaving well-fed, that's what we're about. Touch of Paso in Paso Robles, whether you're passing through or you're a local, down on Pine Street, the place to go.
like grandma's cooking. Touch your peso. Come see what's cooking at Touch Your Peso.
Welcome back. And if you're just tuning in, welcome in. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We're located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. Check us out online at shift, the letter N, gears805.com. We're always looking to shift your expectations of the auto repair industry. Taking care of anything you need from tires to smogs, from oil changes to transmission replacements. Hopefully you don't need that, but if you do, we're there to help you. Come on down and experience our world-class service. Every vehicle gets a complete safety bumper-to-bumper digital vehicle inspection. And what does digital mean? Well, we're going to send you pictures and videos of everything we see. And that's at no cost to you for us to do that. Make sure that you are aware of everything your vehicle may or may not need. You probably don't see the underside of your vehicle very much. So it's important to get an ASC certified technician to get underneath there. And we're going to get you a video and picture and kind of explain to you in a way that you'll understand of what we see and what we may or may not be recommending be done. Right? I mean, especially if you park in the dirt and you got leaks, you got to stay on top of that. Anyways, today, bringing you Gearhead Radio, getting through some of the recalls and stuff going on in the auto industry. It's been a couple weeks since I've been able to get up to speed to that. So getting you up to speed with all the latest recalls. Just went over the Ram truck seatbelt issue, and we started the recall list here with door handles getting overly complicated. And this next one kind of ties it all together and really brings in the fact of maybe you have an older car and you're wondering why your repair costs are getting so high. Well, you're getting 200,000 miles on the car. Keep in mind, you're going to be spending $1,200 to $2,000 a year just in basic maintenance. That doesn't include the major breakdown stuff. I mean, that's just, I have the data. I have the stats of that. That's what it costs. Between oil services, you know, brake job, tires, you just average it out over 3 years, and that's what it ends up costing. Break it down, it's like $200 a month. That's what your average maintenance on a vehicle is going to cost. Now you're wondering, man, this little junker's not worth $2,000. I don't really want to put that kind of money into it. So you start looking at newer ones, and all this new technology really could either excite you, or you're like, I don't want all that stuff. Can I just get a new car without all that new stuff? I just want like mine again, like just reset my vehicle, right? Without the technology. And this here is going to be a prime example of that, of how a lot of these new sensors and a lot of this, while it's great, it also creates a whole new array of problems. And in reality, it makes our job as an automotive technician that much more complicated. Right? When you're talking about LIN bus data communication between multiple modules in a vehicle, I hope you followed me along with that one. I mean, we started with like CAN network, and we've gone to LIN bus, and it's like and intertwined with all that. That's all that means is a bunch of modules that are talking to one another. You get to like FlexRay, and I mean, we're talking like super sophisticated lines of communication through different computer modules that are controlling a vast array of different sensors, and they're all interconnected now. And you get into these newer ones where if one module fails, they all have to be replaced because there's no way to reprogram that into the rest of the line of communication. So say the computer and the body control module, the one that controls your interior lights and your infotainment center and your heated seats and your special memory nap setting driver seat, right? Like all that stuff is all controlled by a computer. Well, that computer also has to communicate with the engine control module and the transmission control module and the ABS, the analog brake control module. And then it ties into the parking assist module and your ADAS, your adaptive driver assistance cruise control. So you have all these, and if one of those on the circuit fails, sometimes they all have to replace together. You can't just put one in and reprogram it anymore. It's getting to that point. And then you're wondering, well, I'll just go without my body control module. Well, you can't. And here's the reason why. So Mercedes-Benz is recalling 310,000 cars that could potentially roll away. You're going to want to listen to this one. Mercedes is recalling more than 250,000 vehicles due to potential rollaway. According to the documents filed with the NHTSA, the recall documents show that the automaker issued a recall for 310,666 vehicles across seven models and spanning from the 2020 through 2026 model years. Now, according to the paperwork, the recall covers a subset of 2020 to 2021 CLAs, A-Class, C-Class, CLEs, GLA, and the GLB, the GLC vehicles as well. The issue stems from a micro switch in the doors. According to the documents, the housing material for the door lock switch could allow moisture in, which over time could lead to corrosion and ultimately failure. The micro switch doesn't affect the door lock itself, but if the switch fails, it may not detect when the door opens. If the issue occurs in the driver's door, the electronic parking brake and or the auto park feature, which are connected to the door opening, may not engage automatically, increasing the chance of a rollaway. The documents show that the issue originates from the deviation in a supplier's development process that produced housing material that doesn't meet robustness requirements. According to the paperwork, drivers may be warned of the issue through errors with some comfort functions, such as the radio remaining on after they're leaving the car. Thankfully, Mercedes was not aware of any vehicle rollaways at the time the recall was filed. The automaker will notify affected owners on or before September 18th. Again, you can always check on the NHTSA recalls website. But more importantly, we've got to unpack this a little bit. So a micro switch in the door lock can cause your car to roll away. That's where we're at. That's 2026. That's where we're at with vehicles. We used to have a thing on the column that you could pull up and it would lock you in park. You could pull it down if you wanted to go forward, right? Remember that? It's like this mechanical linkage. We also had like gas pedals on the floor that was like hooked to a cable that just went straight to the engine. And so you hit the pedal and it would open the throttle and away you went. That's where we're at. And you might have experienced this with Rams were one of the first ones to come up with this. If the door was open, you put it in reverse, the horn would honk. GM also had one where the radio would increase as you got on the highway, right? The GM had an issue with their trucks where they had a lot of complaints about road noise. Trucks were just getting loud when you get on the freeway. They cheaped out on a lot of the building material. They tried to make a car a little bit cheaper, a little bit lighter, try to meet that fuel fleet savings. People didn't like it. It was kind of getting loud. So then they tied the radio in to the speedometer. As you went faster, the radio got louder. And guess what? Now there's no more noise that you hear. And it reduced their complaints. And the drivers were, I guess, happy with that. And if you've ever been in like a late 90s, early 2000s Chevy truck, you know what I'm talking about. The radio will slowly get louder as you get on the freeway. Now that's tied into a part of the transmission that it shouldn't be, right? Like, what if something happened there? Is there? And I always thought about that. Is there a way that if you put an aftermarket radio in, like a cheap aftermarket radio or something, that it could affect the speedometer, affect the instrument cluster? I personally never saw that. And it never ended up being a problem. But here's a good example. In the Mercedes, you got a micro switch that's tied into the park mechanism or the parking solenoid. Because if you know, in most of the new vehicles now, there is no shifter. It's a button or a knob or can't wait till we get to voice command, right? We just say, please put it in park. If you've ever driven a BMW, when you open the door, it'll slam you in park if you're driving, right? It is due on speed, so it won't go into park over like 30 miles an hour. But if you do open the door, it will automatically put yourself in park. Well, again, what if that switch fails? What if it shorts out? We see at the shop all the stuff that could go wrong, right? It's like one of the reasons I get a question a lot of the time is, what vehicle should I buy? Well, only the vehicles that we see are the ones that break all the time. So I don't know if I got a good answer for you, but we see all this weird stuff that happens. And so it's very possible for something like that to happen, to affect it. So if you're on the fence about buying a vehicle because you're just a little concerned about all the new technology, well, you should be. I mean, you're smart. You're critically thinking about the situation because there are a lot of weird nuances and weird things. As we move forward in the auto industry, a lot of stuff being tied in together, which in like hindsight shouldn't be. I see what they're doing. I get it. Right, like Ram was really smart with that. Like when you're in reverse, it's going to honk the horn if the door's open. Because a lot of the time, if you've ever hooked up a trailer on a truck, that's typically what you should be using. If you have a truck, you should be using it for a trailer or loading stuff. Right, you would jump in and out, right? Line up the ball, jump back in. Line up the ball, jump back in. Well, you might leave that door open. And you're looking over your right shoulder, making sure you don't run, and maybe there's a tree on the left-hand side. So I get it. That makes sense. Door's open in reverse. It's going to give you a honk. Oh, yeah. I better shut that door. I don't want to lose that door again. So we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, I got to tell you my favorite story about my brother and I. We grew up in the 50s, and before the 55 Chevy and that. And my dad was very mechanical, and we kind of inherited mechanical talents. Well, he had this 38 two-door sedan with a hopped-up Chevy six-cylinder in it, and it was really fast. And he wouldn't let us drive it. Well, one summer when we were out of school and he didn't drive his car to work, we thought we'd have fun. We went out to go drag racing. Well, my dad had all kinds of spare parts in our garage. And guess what? We tore up second gear. My brother and I normally fought all the time. But this time, we hightailed it home. And would you believe we knew where the pilot shaft and all that was? In 20 minutes, we had that transmission out, repaired, and put back in.
Nothing like a little fear of motivation, huh?
That's right. We didn't want my dad to. I mean, it was 50 years later before he found out about it. Anyway, was a cute story.
Easier times, yeah. That's cool.
We worked so well together, we got it done in 20 minutes.
Nothing like a little bit of fear to motivate you. I love that story.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Dale. Thanks. And on that note, I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Summer's most amazing event, the Paso Robles Rotary Winemakers 27th Annual Cook-Off, Saturday, August 8th at the Paso Robles Event Center. Don't miss wine, beer, and amazing food, live music, and more. Sponsored by the Rotary Club of Paso Robles, 100% of the profits go to an endowment which awards scholarships to local graduating high school seniors. For tickets and additional information, go to winemakerscookoff.com.
Hi, my name is Austin Streamlin. At Slow Heating and Air, our passion for delivering exceptional quality and service never wavers. We're a family business serving our neighbors with honest service you can trust. We can help you fix, maintain, and install new heating and air conditioning systems.
And if another company says something big's broken,
call us for a second opinion.
805-423-5119. That's 805-423-5119. San Luis Obispo Heating and Air Conditioning, Inc., keeping you in the comfort zone.
Lint Patrol specializes in dryer vent cleaning. You can trust Dylan with Lint Patrol to keep your vents clean and safe, and this helps your dryer run more efficiently and reduces the risk of a house fire. Dylan has over 6 years of appliance preventative maintenance experience and is knowledgeable in all things appliance care. This is an affordable, simple way to help protect your home. Contact Dylan today at 805-975-5176 or visit lintpatrolca.com.
Whether you're remodeling your home or building a new one, think of Frontier Floors and Window Coverings in Paso Robles. Since 1977, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings has been the North County's choice for the finest in selection, quality, and service. From an area rug to a complete newly designed residential or commercial project, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings is equipped to assist you from floor to ceiling. Browse their 3,000 square foot showroom. You'll find hardwood flooring, laminate, luxury vinyl flooring, shutters, blinds, shades, draperies, and of course, luxurious stain-resistant carpet. Frontier Floors and Window Coverings, providing the highest quality at competitive prices with unmatched customer service. Call now for your free design consultation, 805-238-7878. Online at frontierfloors.net or visit the showroom at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Frontier Floors and Window Coverings.
And welcome back to Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Getting down to the end of the hour. We're on third base for home, hitting the fourth quarter, bottom of the ninth. What else? The last lap. The last 300. I don't know what else. Whatever else you can think of. I'll be here next Saturday from 9 to 10, so be sure to write down on the calendar. Put it in your Google calendar, whatever you got to do to remember. Support the show. And if you need us during the week, we're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Support the shop. The guys definitely appreciate it. And they love what they do, so they want to fix your problems, oddly enough. Is that weird? It's your problem, but we love to fix it. All right, getting back into it. Talked a lot about recalls today. Lots of interesting stuff going on in the auto industry as usual. Going to be hot today. Make sure your AC is working good. A few little tips and tricks about your AC. Park in the shade. Use your max setting, AC recirc. Keep in mind, if you think you might be having an issue with your air conditioning, if you're on fresh air, you're only going to get about a 30-degree drop. So if you're pulling in 100-degree air, it's going to be about 70 at the vents, maybe 65, but it's going to feel a little bit warmer. So you want to cool your cabin down to like 70, and then cool that 70-degree air down. Then you get it down to about 40, where it should be, 40, 45, something like that. That's about as cold as you're going to get in cars nowadays, so... But yes, if you're driving down the highway and you're pulling in that fresh, hot asphalt air, it's going to feel a little bit warm and muggy. So make sure you put it on recirc so you're cooling down the air that's already in the car. And I mean, we'll always check it out for you if you like, but let's save everybody's time. And just it's simple things you can do. Also, the number one cause of AC problems that we're seeing is leaky condensers and evaporator cores. We're also having a huge problem with AC compressors on the YF cars, the ones that use the new fancy, what they call the new fancy refrigerant, the YF1234 is a lot of AC compressor problems. And a lot of the cheap aftermarket ones are just they're not doing it. So if you're a DIYer, you like to do it yourself, that's great. You're really supposed to have a refrigerant handling license, but whatever. Do what you want to do. If you're going to replace your compressor, make sure you get a good one. We've had multiple failures of that. And we're starting to see alternators with the same problem. A lot of cheap parts coming in. There was a article from Jim Farley, the Ford CEO, talking about a lot of cheap Chinese auto manufacturers coming in. Well, the parts have already infiltrated, right? And I don't know if it came from COVID or what happened, but we're definitely getting the fallout of a lot of cheap aftermarket parts right now. You have to be very careful with what you're buying. And I cannot say this enough, just because it's new does not mean it's good. You have to keep that in mind. If you're repairing your vehicle and you are certain the part that you're replacing should fix that problem and it doesn't, don't start looking somewhere else unless you verify that part you replaced is good. We've had 2, 3, 4, even sometimes 5 parts replaced before we actually got a good one to fix, especially with electrical issues. So it's really important to test. Don't guess. Because if you're guessing on a part and you replace a good part with now a new bad part and you create more problems, talk about throwing a wrench in the gears. I mean, you're just really, really scrambling the spaghetti then. You know what I mean? It's just like throwing more problems at it that it doesn't need. And it's going to get more expensive to do it. So I know we have a lot of vehicles come in our operating procedures, yes, we're going to look at it at no cost to you. That doesn't mean we're going to diagnose it for free. We need to get a baseline. It's like going to the doctor's office and they check your blood pressure and they check your hearing, your eye. They do the quick little check before the doctor comes in. That's kind of what we're doing. We just want to see the baseline of what it's going to take to move forward, right? Does it look like there's a bunch of brand new parts done at this thing? Does it look like there's been somebody in there messing around with stuff? It gives us a baseline of what we estimate it's going to take to then look into the problem, right? There's a lot of nuances with vehicles, even if it's the exact same vehicle. How many miles are on it? Does it look like it's been well maintained? All those things really add up to us. And I'm not trying to shame anybody for maintaining or not maintaining, but I also got to set expectations. But if we tell you it's going to be $220 to tell you what's wrong with the car, and we get to the end of that, we don't have an answer, that's not setting proper expectations. But if I look at it and I can say, you know what, this looks like someone's been messing with this, lots of new parts, we're going to need more than that. You know, we set the expectation of, say, $340. And you say, I don't want to spend that kind of money. Perfect. That's what we need to do, right? If you're not ready to invest in the vehicle, then we're not going to invest the time into it. But if you say, no, I really want this fixed, it's like, okay, well, then let's set the proper expectations. And that's why we got to look at it first and figure out what it's going to take to keep moving forward. And we're good at it. We're definitely pretty well dialed as far as if we need a certain amount of time, we're usually right about where it needs to be. I mean, I've been doing this for a little while and I know what to look for, you know, call it profiling, whatever. You got to do what you got to do, right? I got to make sure you come in, you know what your expectations are and we meet or exceed those expectations. That's my goal. So anyways, going off on a bit of a tangent there, but I think it's important to talk about. What else I got? Not a lot, because we just have a few minutes here. Any events going on that I know about? We got that party tonight. I just got invited to a party. That was kind of cool. The C10 Slowdown, that was a great show. Anything else new coming up? Hot August Nights. If you want to get signed up for that, that's right around the corner, which is kind of... that's kind of crazy. Think about. I feel like that would just happen. Yeah, Hot August Nights in Atascadero. Get yourself signed up for that if you're looking for a cruise, which means we're getting down to the end of the car show season. I feel like it just started. That's kind of rad. Let's see. I wanted to get in a little bit about engine oil, but I don't think I have enough time for that. Synthetic versus conventional. One thing I could bring up on that. So I get a lot of questions about the difference between synthetic and conventional. I just stay away from the blends, unless it's diesel. The diesel, you can go with like a semi-synthetic blend. That's fine. Now the difference is, and I'm keep this like as simple as possible. Conventional creates more friction. Synthetic, almost frictionless. Now you got to ask, where in the world would friction be something that you would want in an engine? Well, when it's breaking in. So a lot of break-in oil allows friction. You need those components to be lubricated, but you also need them to create a little friction so the rings can seat in the cylinder and the bearings can seat and the cams can seat. So you want that friction at first when an engine's brand new. That allows it to break in. Not break up, but to break in. So smooth driving with an engine oil that allows some friction of the internal rotating parts will allow everything to seat in and break in. That's where your conventional oils come in. After that, you want to run synthetic. Keep it smooth and frictionless. Smooth is fast, right? That's what we want. Hopefully that was helpful. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I always appreciate you. Look forward to seeing you next Saturday, 9 a.m. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.